If you're ready to confront your destiny, if this is the moment that you've been praying for, tune in and listen to your cosmic cheerleader, Commander Lady Athena, for cosmic pep talks for Closet Christ. The show is the voice of the Ashtar Command. The call is for you to step forward into your greatness. E-listening on Wednesday, we have an appointment with Destiny.
Greetings in the supreme love of the all that is. I'm Commander Lady Athena, and you're listening to the voice of the Ashtar Command. Cosmic Pep Talks for Closet Christ. This evening, our seminar topic is The Storm Before the Calm. Vedic forecasts of current global events and dawning golden age. We're going to look tonight on the from the Vedic perspective of things that were foretold for this precise moment in time. And as we go forward this evening, I believe it's going to provide a great deal of reassurance and clarity as to why things are appearing as they are in the news, in our world, and in our individual lives. So let's center ourselves for this evening's transmission. Take a deep breath and dive down deep below the layer of thoughts into the deep seat of the divine presence within you. Let's take another deep breath. And dive deep, 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 beyond your thoughts, beyond this world, into that place that is always centered in divine equanimity and peace. This is the place of refuge. This is the secret place of the Most High. This is dwelling under, symbolically, the divine wings of protection. This is your safe tower. This is your refuge. This is your home. And let's chant the hue three times as we clarify and purify our mind for clear reception and understanding of what we will be sharing this evening. Deep breath. Hue. I would like us to consider this evening the fact that we are not here for ourselves. In fact, that self that we have misidentified with, this personal limited human self, is basically a figment of a conjuration, associated memories, assumptions, things that others have said about us that we have bought into. The conglomerate of our history, our stories, our interpretations. But not a single bit of that is who we truly are. In highest truth, you are an extension of the one divine spirit. You're an incarnation of God. And your work here is to be God. Your work here is to be the love of God, the peace of God, the intelligent creativity of God, the wisdom of God. So that that which is what we have attributed to God, we need to apply and attribute to ourselves, because that is the truth. And everything else is something the mind has made up and appropriated to a false and fictitious person. So as we keep illumining and awakening to the depths of our being, all of these lesser identifications will fall away. In fact, they're like when you turn the light on in a room, all the shadows disappear. So the shadows of a self that never was disappear as you bring in more and more awareness, more and more truth and light to illumine yourself. And we're all doing that. So we are so fortunate to be physically participants in the greatest drama, the greatest event to ever be unfolded upon the earth. Consider that in the time of Jesus, there were only about 500 people who actually had contact with him. That is to say, in the area of Palestine, not mentioning his travels later when he went to India and other places, or earlier, I should say, during the so-called missing years. But the 3 years of his ministry, he had a very small area. And of the people who actually realized who he was, there was, maybe two, right? Mary Magdalene certainly knew who he was, and Peter. And John kind of went in and out of realizing and then going back into the possessive love that he had for his master. So he was at a state in which he was awakening more deeply to the truth that Jesus was indeed the Christ. And during the time of Lord Krishna, there was just a tiny, less than a handful of people who would move in and out of realizing that Krishna was the Lord, the avatar. And then they'd go back into the maya of the role play. The same was so for the avatar Rama. And probably the avatar Shirdi Sai Baba as well. But now in the era of Satya Sai Baba, there are many, many, many people who have attained the ability to recognize the avatar in his present incarnation. More and more people were able this time than in any previous time to recognize the incarnation of God. So although we've not in the West been very acquainted with this concept of the incarnations of God, in the East it's a long, long tradition that whenever there's a decline in righteousness, the Lord will take a human form to indicate the way to get back on track in a godly way. Because mankind needs to see the form, because we have forms and we associate ourselves with having a physical form, unless we also can see the divine embodied in a form, it's very difficult for us to have that sense of the immediacy of the presence of God. We have to have a show and tell. And so from age to age, the avatar comes. So our present avatar, and there's many different kinds of avatars, but I'm speaking of the Lord Satya Sai Baba, who has embodied at this time to inaugurate a golden age. And he's doing that through those of us who are the people of God, And we're among the few, I would say, of the billions. There are, what, some millions, I suppose, who have had contact with Satya Sai Baba in his physical form. But we are ultimately, according to Sai Baba, all of us are going to have contact with him, if not now, within the next 10 lifetimes, so that every single living being on the planet will be touched in a physical and tangible way by the divine avatar. So we are fortunate to be amongst the millions who are spiritually awakening all over the world, and for the first time are able to consciously participate as light workers and as instruments through which the divine avatar can operate. And we've been called the saints of the latter day, a collective messiah, the Ami Shaddai, the people of God, and many other terms. But we are the heavenly hosts who have come to earth specifically to birth and witness the birthing of the golden age. We are those who have come to be part in the transformation. And Baba says that all of us should play a part in bringing forward the transformation that's leading to the golden age. And the instrument that we should use is love. So, let's consider our lives in that context, at least. Let's just have some tea with it. And having said that, if one watches the news, it seems as if we are witnessing the darkest and most chaotic of times. And most people are feeling anxious and uncertain as to our future, and even many light workers. So we're going to take a look through the words of Sai Baba, through the things that he has said regarding these times, the things that the seven sages have written in the Nadi Shastras, which are 5,000 years old. And we're going to realize, through Sai Baba's disclosure, that the oldest, most accurate spiritual teachings on the planet are the Vedas. All other religions, Sai Baba said, come down from the Mother Vedas. As children and grandchildren and great-grandchildren. But every religion, if you trace it back to its origin, was inspired by the Vedic teachings. So the Vedas are the only spiritual teachings that do not have a human origin. The Vedas alone were divinely birthed from the living word, the primordial sound current. And their first appearance, or appearing on the planet, some estimate dates back 10,000 years. That's about as far as we can grasp them historically. But they actually antedate that as well. They go back to the early and prior Satya Yuga, or Golden Age. So in that Yuga, the ancient God-realized rishis, or sages, first heard the Vedas as heavenly Sanskrit chants. And thus they were learned audibly, and for a long, long time were passed down in that manner before they were eventually written down by other God-realized rishis in later times. So the Vedas have specific application to every area of life so that one may exemplify the divine throughout. And no question can ever arise that has not already been answered in the Vedic teachings, including the most technical, scientific, and cosmic That's pretty amazing that they come from the timeless. Excuse me. They come from the timeless realms of the divine into time-space, but address every little area, technical, scientific, and cosmic, that has later proliferated as beliefs and technologies and theories and questions. So one of the branches of Vedic knowledge is Vedic astrology, called Jyotish or Jyotisha. Jyoti means light. And therein, the most detailed description was given of an individual's or a nation's destiny. Everything is laid out in Vedic astrology. And Vedic astrology differs from Western astrology because Western astrology deals primarily with the sun sign that you're born in and has to do pretty much with your physical personal life. But Vedic astrology has to do with the ascendant and your spiritual life and when you will ultimately be liberated. So the greatest of these prophecies were written on palm leaves in Sanskrit by each of the seven rishis, which are the seven primordial sages, from which each of us has taken our origin in terms of our lineage. Each of us goes back in our lineage to one of those seven sages. And they were writing the destinies of all beings 5,000 years ago because they had omniscience at that time. And these prophecies are called nadis and are located at various places throughout India. In 1973, I had my nadi palm scripts read from the sage Bhrigu. And I went to the person who read the palm leaves, Sri Kantanlal Pandya, in Mumbai. And mine was entirely spiritual. It had every little detail of the cycles in which I would attain this level of enlightenment and that level of enlightenment, and this would happen and that would happen. And that I was, I had come in with the hand of my guru, Satya Sai Baba, on my head. And that he was granting me liberation in this lifetime. And that I had been with him as Shirdi Sai Baba. And it showed the different ages and cycles in which I would go to these different states of realization, which I have lived through them all now and can verify them as all being very accurate, except for one. I'm about 7 years past the time when I was supposed to leave the body. So Sai Baba obviously gave me a life extension. And Sai Baba can do that. He can do anything. There is no power that he does not have. So, it's interesting when you read the nadis, which are quoted in the wonderful book, Sai, by Kingdom Come, that refers to the great mysteries surrounding the Sai avatar and his disappearance for a time. Unanimously, they all say that he will reappear in the same form before Prema Sai. Because when Prema Sai comes forth, we will have, Sai Baba will have already established the golden age, and it will be one of complete peace. So, wonder of wonders, 2018 was mentioned. And it was in a dialogue that I will quote from that was an interview with Dr. John Hislop. Now, this was given 40 years ago, or let's see, 39 years ago, okay? Bear in mind, this was December 1978. And this is what Sai Baba said to Dr. John Hislop. John Hislop. Many people are saying that very shortly we will enter a period of great catastrophe. Sai. There may be some peak waves, as I mentioned, but the world will be happy, peaceful, and prosperous. No world war? Sai. No world war. John. We are fortunate to be alive so that we may see this peaceful world. Sai. You will all see it. Even the old men will live to see it. Somebody in the interview asked then. Then Prema Sai will not have much work to do. Swami will have made the world peaceful. Sai. That is some 40 years away. At that time, the world will be peaceful. That is the name, Prema Sai. Prema, love. All will be love, 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 everywhere. Okay, advance forward, 40 years. Beloveds, that's 2018. Hello. Can it be that we are in just that very last bit of craziness and conflict? Before we come in to the golden age? Good question, huh? Sai Baba explained the mission of Prema Sai, the avatar, that his would be to make people realize that they themselves are God. You are God will be the message of Prema Sai Baba. The mission of the present avatar, Satya Sai, is to make everyone realize the same God or divinity resides in everyone. People should respect, love, and help each other, irrespective of color or creed. Thus, all work can become a way of worship. Finally, Prema Sai, the third avatar, will promote the evangel news that not only does God reside in everybody, but everybody is God. And that will be the final wisdom which will enable every man and woman to go to God. So the Prema Sai avatar, to impart this knowledge to mankind, it would presuppose that that's such an advanced understanding that Sai Baba calls it the final wisdom. So it would be fair to assume that humanity would have reached a reasonable level of spiritual awareness by that time. And who else could bring about that awareness other than the avatar Satya Sai himself? So Sai Baba said that the golden age will recur. And I quote from him, "The will of God cannot be stopped. The events God ordains must take place. The joyful golden age will recur. Many hesitate to believe that things will improve, that life will be happy for all and full of joy, and that the golden age will recur. Let me assure you that this Dharma Swarupa, this divine body, has not come in vain. It will succeed in averting the crisis that has come upon humanity. It will be here sooner than one expects. Fear not, my children. All will be well. Love and light will replace the darkness, and a new era will be upon you very soon. The time is approaching when all humanity will live in harmony. That time will be here sooner than one expects. Before it arrives, be prepared for whatever is needed to reveal to every living thing the true purpose of existence. It is not what anyone alive can imagine. It is beyond all comprehension.
I can say that its beauty is magnificent beyond all dreams. And as each of you perform your silent work, I embrace you to my heart. And henceforth your soul shall be lifted up, and your eyes will reveal my presence within. The day when the brotherhood of man and the fatherhood of God will shine bright and beautiful is dawning and drawing near. The whole world today is in the throes of anxiety and fear, but I assure you that very soon the dark clouds shall be scattered, and you will witness a happy era all over the world. When the world is on the verge of chaos, the Avatar comes to still the storm raging in the hearts of men. Prashanti, the higher peace, the calming of perturbations, will be stabilized soon. The demonic derivations from the straight divine path will be corrected. Dharma, righteousness, will be revived and revitalized in every human community. When the golden age dawns, there will be harmony throughout the world, and love will flow everywhere. All thoughts of hatred will disappear. Today, you cannot visualize such a state because there's chaos everywhere. Fighting, scheming, hatred, evil, all the negative emotions are in the ascendant. But eventually the change will come. If there is a change, it will be a universal change, not local. It will occur every place. The day when the whole humanity gets unified as one big family, observing strictly the principles of truth, righteousness, love, peace, and nonviolence, will mark the establishment of the Psi era. And blessed indeed are those who will be able to experience that heaven on earth. It will be like a new age, the age of love and harmony and cooperation, replacing the age of war and fighting and hatred and jealousy, greed and all those negative aspects of life. Love and peace will cleanse the horrors and excesses of the dark ages, which today pollute the very atmosphere. Life will change. It will improve, and you will experience a richness in the quality of life which has eluded you in the past. Today we find acts of violence everywhere, but whatever is happening, in a way, is for your own good. Everyone will develop sacred feelings. All will enjoy the divine bliss. The entire nation will enjoy peace and happiness soon. There will not be any difficulties or suffering. Avatars do not succeed or fail. What they will must occur. What they plan must take place. I have come to inscribe a golden chapter in the history of humanity, wherein falsehood will fail, truth will triumph, virtue will reign, character will confer power then, not knowledge or inventive skill or wealth. Wisdom will be enthroned in the councils of nations. Well, those were the words describing the age that I believe we're right on the cusp of. So speaking of the peculiar prophecies from the Nadis, one of the seven sages of Gatsya mentioned in the sacred Nadi readings that foretells a great storm that would precede the vision of the Lord. And I quote, sacred Nadi readings. Of the Lord Agasha. The Lord's arrival will be preceded by a great thunderous storm. It may appear quite frightening, but it will stop quite suddenly, and the vision of the Lord will take place. From this day onwards, great wonders will increase. After the storm, And this is a quote from Sai Baba. After the storm, there will be a new beginning, and the atmosphere will be completely different. It will be like a new age, the age of love, harmony, and cooperation, replacing the age of war, fighting, hatred, jealousy, greed, and all those negative aspects of life. Now, Sai Baba has said that there would be a time when he would walk across the sky, that he would actually walk across the sky, and people would realize his glory. And he mentioned this in one of the public discourses as well. And I quote, "I will have to move across the sky. Yes, that too will happen, believe me. You will realize Sai's glory when I walk across the sky from one end to another." There's many prophecies that every eye will see the Lord when he manifests, that every eye will see him. And in every one of the Rigu and Agasha and Sukha and the other nadis that I have read of that are listed in this book, Sai, Thy Kingdom Come, they mention that Sai Baba will reappear in the same form for a period of time and complete the things that he, that he has been prophesied to fulfill in that particular body of Satya Sai. And again, there's a mystery. There's a great mystery being unfolded here that seems to allude to the fact that when there's a great, great storm, and it's mentioned in several places. In fact, it's even mentioned by Nostradamus. That implies that there's going to be such a storm that only Sai Baba will be able to calm the elements. And at that time, he would manifest. I think I should probably share that intriguing Nostradamus prophecy here. It's from Quatrain 150, and the second one from Quatrain 1071. The triplicity of waters will give birth to a man who will choose Thursday as his holy day. His voice, rain, and power will rise across land and sea amid storms in the east. The earth and air will freeze so much water when all will come to worship on Thursdays. What will be was never so beautiful before. From all parts of the world they will come to honor him. Now, the only place that has the triplicity of waters is the Indian Peninsula, especially in the southern part, which is surrounded by the Bay of Bengal, the Arabian Sea, and the Indian Ocean. And Thursday is the day observed as the holy day of Sai Baba. So, speaking about that frozen water, there was another part of the Bhrigu reading, or not the Bhrigu, but one of the other nadis, where it says, on this day, wherever you look, the wind and the rain will come. Then Sai will come in his form in Andhra Pradesh in Prashanti Nilayam. Andhra Pradesh is the state in India where Sai Baba has his ashram, Prashanti Nilayam, which has the exact same meaning as Jerusalem, the place of peace. So, it's interesting because we're in a time when we have storms like never before. Now, I came upon something that intrigued me very much. It was on YouTube by a Vedic astrologer by the name of Rick Veda, or Rick Ved, V-E-D. he was obviously a Western man, trained obviously by Maharishi, who I suppose would be his guru. I'm going to share a little bit of what he had to say, bottom line, and then show you where Sai Baba says a very, very similar thing. And he starts off by saying that the scientists have pretty much agreed that by 2030, we will be in a point of no return in terms of our pollution that we have created on the planet that would threaten our viability beyond that date. And so a divine intervention is very necessary to save us from ourselves. So 5,000 years ago, Lord Krishna, I'm quoting his what he had to say on his YouTube, Rick Ved, V-E-D. 5,000 years ago, Lord Krishna said that in 5,000 years, during the Kali Yuga, the age of darkness that we're currently in, a golden age would appear. A golden age would appear. Hello. Lasting 10,000 years or more, depending on human consciousness. It is now 5,000 years since Lord Krishna made that declaration. And that time foretold is now. And then he goes on to say that Maharishi Mahesh Yogi said before he left his body that by 2020 to 2025, a golden age would dawn, a heaven on earth. And there would be a time of chaos arising just before the sudden shift occurs. And it's very, it's like you go from chaos and there's going to be a very, very sudden shift. And so Maharishi refers to this as our being in phase transition. And the YouTube was done recently, in 2017, so I think he posted it on YouTube just a few days ago. Now, here's where it gets very interesting. Rick Ved, a Vedic astrologer, shows all the planetary configurations and the things surrounding what's happening and the people that it's involving, and the astrological configurations that are surrounding the current things that we're seeing on the news. And he said, during this time of chaos, we will see the fall of all governments. The fall of all governments. I'm quoting. Rioting in the streets and mass destruction, and eventually great earthquakes. And he said it is happening now, and ideology is dividing people. But then, out of all of this, suddenly, a golden age will dawn, where there will be cultural integrity, no poverty, no refugees, perfect order, and peace everywhere. And Maharishi is quoted to have said, it's beyond anything that anyone possibly could imagine. It is so wonderful that in our wildest fantasies, we cannot imagine the wonder of this golden age. Now, Sai Baba said, I believe, I forget to whom he addressed it, but he said that the golden age would begin in 2012. But first, great winds, a storm, would blow away all but those who were firmly rooted in loving devotion to God. And to those who were firmly rooted in loving devotion, not a hair on their heads would be touched or harmed. The others would be swept away into a world of chaos. And I was present when he first said that latter part. Well, the winds did blow after that. He made that statement, I believe it was his 85th birthday, or perhaps it was 82 or 85. I don't remember that birthday, but he spoke about the time when the winds would blow away all of the chaff, except for those firmly rooted in devotion. And then the winds blew away. You know, people just started falling out, falling away from Swami, falling away from the spiritual path, right and left. And he had said at one time, very enigmatic statement, that at the end he would have only a small handful of devotees that were true devotees, which of course bothered us all to no end. But he says many things that have to be interpreted on, I would say we each interpret them in our own inner consciousness that the Divine Spirit reveals to us. And so we have to contemplate, am I truly, can I say I'm a devotee of the Lord? You know, I don't think we can even say that. I don't think we even know that. But you know, the heart doesn't lie. And God sees and knows everything. And we've been allotted the roles that we play. Baba has said again and again that he has given us the roles that we're playing. He has accorded us the temperaments and even the bad qualities that we have. You know, he said he has given us everything. The lines we speak, our entrance cues, our exit cues, how long we're going to be on that stage, the performance, everything. And moreover, he's the one that's enacting the role through us. So he's written the play. He has cast the characters. He's enacting all the roles. And here we are, thinking that we're individuals with free will. The truth is, there is only one will, and that is God's will, which we come ultimately to understand is our will, because we are one with God. So there's no such thing as our will and God's will. There's only the one will. And again, as we begin to drop away this fiction that we believe is the personal separate self, and we begin to move into that unified field of divine self-realization, we realize that the self, the divine self, the true self, the soul, the Atma, is none other than God. And so, as we go through these things, we're constantly looking at it through the lens of our current state of awareness and awakening. But it's not always really clear, is it? Because we're in that process of awakening to the inner depths of our being. But most of us are not fully there yet to where it's an ongoing, solid place that we live from and speak from and operate from all the time. We have dimensions and levels of that expression that keep being upgraded, you know, as Sai Baba works from within, as the Holy Spirit that's transforming us. We don't even transform ourselves in highest truth. How can you fix something that you're not even aware of? And yet those of us who have had problems, say, for example, really selflessly loving or forgiving someone or getting over a bad habit. I can't tell you the times that I have asked Baba to take a particular quality and transform it so that I can love that person as he does. And without any effort on my part, suddenly I find that I've been transformed and my attitude is totally different. I have that love for that person. I have that ability to forgive. I have that ability to let go. And even saying I have is nonsense because I had nothing to do with it. But it's that transformative power that takes those parts of us and transforms them when we ask. So by all means, turn your darkest things over to the Lord and ask. Ask to see that person through the eyes of love and to be able to stay in that place. That place of authentic godhood. Authentic godhood. I cherish the last words that I saw posted by John Roger on social media. And it was very succinct. He said, "Be good, be holy." Be good. Be holy. And now, here's what Sai Baba had to say about that same prophecy that I just read you from Lord Krishna. According to Sai Baba, and I'm quoting him now, 11,000 years is the full length of the Kali Yuga. The Kali Yuga still has 5,320 years before ending. More than 5,000 years have passed in the Kali Yuga, which would mean that we are into the glorious period that Lord Krishna was referring to. In the great epic, the Mahabharata, the sage Markandeya talks about the conversation he had with Lord Vishnu about a time during the darkest period of the Kali Age, when human values would deteriorate, violence and injustice would be widespread, falsehood would triumph over truth, oppression and crime would be prevalent. Lord Vishnu tells the sage Markandeya that he would take a human birth in the Kali Yuga in order to intervene and set the world on a new course to establish the Satya Yuga, or Age of Truth. And here is what Lord Vishnu said. "When evil is rampant upon this earth, I will take birth in the family of a virtuous man and assume a human body to restore tranquility by the extermination of all evils, for the preservation of resuscitude and morality. I will assume an inconceivable human form when the season for action comes. In the Kali Age of Sin, I will assume an avatar form that is dark in color. I will be born in a family in South India. This avatar will possess great energy, great intelligence, and great powers. Material objects needed for this avatar's mission will be at his disposal as soon as he will think of them. He will be victorious with the strength of virtue. He will restore order and peace in the world. This avatar will inaugurate a new era of truth and will be surrounded by spiritual people. He will roam over the earth, adored by the spiritual people. The people of the earth will imitate this avatar's conduct, and there will be prosperity and peace. men will once more betake themselves to the practice of religious rites. Educational centers for the cultivation of Brahmic lore and temples will reappear again everywhere. Ashrams will be filled with men of truth. Rulers of the earth will govern their kingdoms virtuously. The avatar will have an illustrious reputation. And it's interesting, too, in the Brahma Vaivarta Purana, Lord Krishna mentions that the world will be filled with his devotees, whose very presence would transform this earth into a place of pilgrimage. And I would say this points to a massive expansion of the critical mass constituting the spiritual consciousness of this world that is to be brought about by more and more people turning towards God, which is certainly happening at this time. So it's only prudent to assume that the ensuing golden age will be brought about by Lord Sai Krishna himself, Sai Baba being an incarnation of Krishna, according to the Nadis, transforming the whole world with his love, might, and divine grace into one big Sai organization. The whole world will be transformed into Satya Sai organization, and Satya Sai will be installed in the hearts of one and all. So when we say Satya Sai, Sai Baba always says that he is the embodiment of every name and every form of God. So whether you call him Rama, Krishna, Jesus, Buddha, whomever, it's the same, absolute same, God. That's the characteristic of this full avatar, is that he is known as an embodiment of every name and every form of God that man has ever attributed to God. So I've never heard Sai Baba say that there would be, there would be a fall and governments and all of that, but I have heard him say that he would put a devotee in every place of, at the head of every government at some point, and he would bring transformation through operating through each of us as his instruments. So we're the grunt team, we're the hands and the feet and the voices and the instruments through which he works the transformation. We surrender, we open ourselves, we keep ourselves clear and aligned, and he operates through us. He said when we become clouded with ego, then he backs off and we're on our own. But when we get over that storm of egotism, then he comes back in and operates through us. And he said the devotion that pours through us is his presence that's bringing that transformation and bringing healing. So whatever happens, it is meant to happen in the way it is. And he said there is nothing to fear. We should not be afraid of anything. And except sin. He always said the only thing we should fear is sin. But we shouldn't fear death. We shouldn't fear anything. He also said that if all of humanity joined for the next 3,000 years in attempting to fathom his mystery, that none would succeed. So he often says to love his uncertainty, love his mystery. Do not seek to understand, relinquish the need to understand, but instead get immersed in Sai, In other words, get immersed in the Lord. Get immersed in God. Then you may get a glimpse of my glory. Be quiet. Be simple. Be sincere. And enjoy the show. Know that I have willed all that happens. All happens as it must. All happens for your good. And so, 2018, wow. I think we're going to be experiencing some pretty amazing things. Because this is the time. You know, perhaps the time of the great storm. We certainly have had a series of great storms, fire storms and water storms and wind storms. But at some point, the Lord himself is going to have to step forward visibly to calm the storm. And, you know, every world scripture speaks of the Lord returning and putting an end to the chaos and establishing the era and age of peace. Doesn't matter what scripture you look into, they all pretty much say the same thing. So are we at the time of the return that we've attributed to the return of the Christ? There was a man and his wife from England that asked Sai Baba point blank, are you the Christ that we have been waiting to have reappear, the one that is to come? And Sai Baba simply said yes. And so we have the cosmic Christ in the form of Sai Baba, what we would call the Christ, the embodiment of pure, unconditional, divine love. And there's a lot more I can share about that, but it looks like we've run out of time for this evening. But it looks like we're in that time, that interim now, where we're having the storms, and we're witnessing the collapse of certainly what has been very unrighteous forms of living and governing, and where money and personal profit has replaced devotion and humanity and love of God and compassion. And it looks like we're going to be shaken every which way but loose until we straighten up and fly right. And it looks like we will. And it looks like we're in for the greatest show on earth. Certainly the greatest show on earth. So let's take a deep breath. We'll chant NIU. NIU. And raise your hands. And we send blessings to all the kingdoms of nature, of earth, wind, fire, water, and the etheric. May all the elements of nature be blessed. May they all be peaceful. May they all behave harmoniously. And most of all, we send blessings to the human kingdom, that it may come into greater and greater alignment with the divine self within and in right human relationships without, that our compassion, our caring, and our kindness may rise up within us with greater strength than ever before, and may more and more of us choose to be instruments of the divine, to bring transformation wherever we live and what through whatever avenue that we have to express. May our words be guided by that one divine spirit. And may they bring comfort and healing, inspiration, and empowerment to the divinity within everyone that we interact with. And so we surrender this transmission this evening to the Lord, praying that it may touch to all with His love and light and grace. Namaste.